Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing our show on this Friday, December 30th, really our last live Buckmaster show of 2016, but it's not really, Tom, the last Buckmaster show of 2016, because that will come on, because we're re-airing today's show, so that comes at 4 o'clock Saturday, New Year's Eve. So we're going to get another show in. I mean, it's the same show, but it's...
You'll be really an 11th hour show on New Year's Eve.
There you go. And then we'll be back live. We've got a special best of program, so everybody can enjoy Monday off. But then our first live show of the new year will be our 6th anniversary show here for the radio. And I'll begin, I hate to say this, this will say, Tom, how perhaps old I am, the 50th year in the communication business. But I began as, what, an 8-year-old?
I was going to say, I doubted that it was even junior high yet.
welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Want to do a big shout-out to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, whose editor is seated to my right here in studio, and that is Dan Scheer. Dan, thank you very much for your support during the year.
Thank you. Appreciate what you do.
Thank you very much. Also appreciate you hosting, guest hosting, while I go off and relax, try to see some more of the world. Also, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and Three Sonorans, all supporting, all posting on their front page of their websites a link to the Buckmaster Show. Also with me in studio, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Nice to be here.
Thank you for all of your support during 2016, and we look forward to 2017 with you as well.
I will be here.
And we also appreciate the work of your husband, Tim, who's been contributing. We try to get Tim on every 4 or 5 weeks to get kind of an update on how the hockey franchise is going. And I think so far so good. I checked the standings, and they're like, I think, first place.
I do believe that's true. Yeah, so, he also writes, little plug for my marvelous husband, Timothy Gasson. He writes hockey. He's the hockey columnist at the Arizona Daily Star, and he has a really interesting column in the paper today about the leadership over at the Roadrunners.
And they have some very good leadership, according to Tim's column. Anyway, we want to go now to the live line, our Friday Focus interview. The longtime editor of the Arizona Capital Times, 12 years with the Capital Times, Jim Small, decided it was time to move on. Earlier this month, he began a new opportunity as the executive director of a nonprofit organization based in Phoenix. It's the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting. Jim, how are you? How's the new job going?
I'm doing great, and so far so good. I am certainly learning an awful lot about what it takes to run a nonprofit newsroom. A lot of things that are the same as running a newsroom at a newspaper, but a lot of things that are certainly different and forging our own path, without a doubt.
Now, explain to our listeners, Jim, what exactly is AZCIR?
Yeah, we are an independent 501c3 nonprofit media organization, and basically what we focus on is statewide accountability journalism and investigations, primarily stories and reporting that's driven by data. And in some cases, it's data that we are pulling from other sources, say from the federal government or from the state government or from a county. In other cases, it's data that we're really kind of we're building databases and building these data sets that otherwise don't exist, and as a way really to contextualize what's happening in the news or to explain trends that are going on or maybe just to find out new things that people have wondered about but no one really has any idea for sure exactly what's happening. Our goal is really to be innovative and to kind of create these in-depth investigations that are interactive and that build on this data analysis and mapping and things like that in order to tell stories that either haven't been told before or to really explain in depth and in a clear and concise way how government, for instance, is working or in a lot of cases maybe not working.
All right, here's Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News.
Hey, Jim, how long has the organization been around and why or who decided that it needed to come into existence?
It has existed since 2012, and I think really its existence is aimed at kind of filling the gap that's been created as the corporate media landscape has shifted so dramatically, I think, especially in the last decade. I think certainly everyone in studio right now is familiar with the cutbacks and just the budget tightening that's happened across the corporate media world, and that's it's the same at big papers like the Daily Star as it was at small papers smaller papers like the Capital Times, where certainly we didn't feel. We didn't have the axe come down on us the way it happened at a lot of places, but we absolutely had a lot of belt tightening and a lot of doing more with less. I think one of the first things that was eliminated at a lot of places was investigative reporting and long-term project reporting, because it requires you to dedicate several bodies to working on something for weeks, if not months at a time. And, when you're looking to trim costs and you're looking for people who are going to, kind of give you a more steady return on your investment, on your salary, those are the jobs that have largely gone away first. And so the center was created as a way to try to fill that gap.
Was it a bunch of laid off journalists who decided to get together and do this, or who was it? There were plenty.
The founders were two guys, Brandon Quester, who is the outgoing executive director, and another gentleman named Andrew Long. Both of them had newsroom experience. Andrew, in particular, he'd worked for Gannett and had done a lot of data work and visualization work and design work. And Brandon kind of came from a photojournalism and news writing background, so they saw a need and identified it, and basically kind of set out and put all their eggs in a basket to create this this entity. They were certainly not the first in the country by a long shot, but they were the first in Arizona and they kind of near the beginning edge of this. This idea of nonprofit journalism has really, really taken off in the last 5 years. There are similar outfits across the country, some doing what we do or focusing on kind of larger statewide investigative issues, some that are much more local. Certainly Tucson Sentinel is a great example, a great local one. I mean, Dylan does great work and it kind of takes the same model, but instead of taking a big picture look at it, he really kind of bores down and tries to get into the local news and provide coverage that maybe otherwise wouldn't happen. You've got groups like ProPublica, I think is the largest one of these groups nationally. They're based out of California and they do much the same thing that we do in terms of we do much the same thing that they do, I suppose is probably the better way to put that, in terms of looking at kind of these larger scale pieces, these really big in-depth investigations. And trying to find a way to tell stories that are being ignored or just maybe that there aren't the resources out there to tell them.
All right.
And I think the one thing, though, that I do want to add that separates us from a group like ProPublica is our goal is not to be a competitor at all with the existing media. We want to work, we do work in collaboration with them, and we've done a number of projects over the years where we basically partner with the newsroom and we lend our set of skills and they lend their set of skills, and we work together to come up with a project that maybe their newsroom wouldn't have been able to pull off by themselves and something that we wouldn't have been able to do by ourselves. Had a couple of great pieces that we did with them at the Capital Times. They've done some great work with the local ABC affiliate up here, tracking hazardous material storage and the lack of regulation that goes into that, and how many people are potentially vulnerable to, you know, a hazardous material spill or explosion.
I want to bring Sarah Garrett-Gasson in from the Star here before we take our break. Go ahead, Sarah.
Who do you think you are producing? I mean, I guess the question is, who is your audience in a landscape where so many people seem so willing to believe just bizarre fictional things that people call fake news? I don't think the word news should be anywhere near that. But who is your audience? Who do you hope to reach?
Yeah, I think we really hope to reach those people in Arizona and elsewhere, really, you know, who I think are dedicated to knowing what's going on in the world around them and not just seeing a headline and whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or anywhere else, and just assuming that they know the entire story. You know, our audience really is you know, people who are educated and who want to be informed and want to have a clearer understanding of the world around them and want to see the facts before they make up their mind.
What is your website where people can find out more?
Absolutely. It's azcir.org. On that, we have all of the stories we've published, and we've got just basic information about our organization and also information about how you can donate and how you can support independent journalism that's aimed at really holding the powerful in this state accountable.
And one of your stories, I believe, a recent story, why Joe Arpaio failed to win re-election to a seventh term as Maricopa County Sheriff. Real quickly, could you summarize why that happened in a minute or so before we take a break?
Absolutely. Joe Arpaio lost. He may have spent the last decade angering and riling up Latino community and Hispanic advocacy groups, and they certainly used the work he was doing as a clarion call to go out and register people and get people involved in politics. But at the end of the day, the reason he lost was because Republicans and voters in Republican districts lost confidence in him. He lost about 200,000 votes in districts, in precincts in Maricopa County that were either middle of the road or Republican majority. And that is the bottom line. I mean, there is no other way to look at those numbers other than to say Republicans and conservative voters finally lost confidence in Joe Arpaio and decided that they would rather have a Democrat replace him at the same time as they were voting for Donald Trump for president.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview. Jim Small is with us. He is the new executive director and editor of the nonprofit Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting. Our bumper music, the intermission music, The Times They Are Changing. We'll be featuring that music by different artists during each break. Go ahead, Mr. Fairbanks.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times, they are changing.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to icstucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York. And easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world. You can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we count down and get ready to turn the page on another year and our bumper music, Times They Are A-Changing. Probably, Mr. Fairbanks, Tom, that is a song that has been covered by everybody. Manfred Mann, yeah. And the Earth Band.
Who would have thunk it?
Doing that, of course, going into the break, first break, we have had the original, Bob Dylan, who certainly, well, he wrote the song, and that would be the appropriate way to start it as we cover a bunch of artists here during the hour, Times They Are A-Changing. You've heard it by many different artists, haven't you, Sarah?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I have over the years. It's a song that endures.
One version I like, Tom, and I don't know if you've selected all of them, you know, I like The Birds. They did a nice version, too.
The Birds is on my list?
It is on the list. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. We're on. Great minds think alike. There you go. On our live line, Jim Small is with us. Jim, for many years, a dozen years, in fact, was heading up the Arizona Capital Times. He's now moved over to a nonprofit called the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting, which has been around since 2012, and he'll be now taking over the helm there. Dan Scheer, go ahead. I know you wanted to ask about investigative reporting and the whole economics of it.
Yeah, Jim, you touched on it earlier, how newsrooms have had to cut back, and oftentimes the investigative teams have been the first to go. And Sarah and I were talking off the air that the Star has largely kept up that investigative touch because we realize the day-to-day journalism is very important, but people are continually asking for what we call watchdog journalism. Yet, you know, medium and smaller papers just have had to let a lot of that stuff go, which is why your work is important. Where are you guys getting the bulk of your money to get this done?
Yeah, we get our funding from a combination of sources, really. One of our largest source of funding is from the Ethics and Excellence Journalism Foundation. They exist in large part to fund entities like ours across the country. They fund several dozen. They provide financial support for several dozen of them. You know, nonprofit, independent newsrooms. And so thankfully, through their generosity, you know, they provide a substantial portion of our money. But we also raise a lot of money from individuals. I mean, just from any individual person, we've got people who've given, you know, everything from $10 up to, you know, something in the four figures. And this year, you know, 2016, obviously, I've been on board about a month. But 2016 has, without a doubt, been our best year so far, I think, both in terms of journalism and in terms of fundraising. And I think that we're starting to really really kind of hit our stride when it comes to producing stories that are meaningful and that resonate with people, and at the same time, you know, really getting a foothold, I think, in some of the fundraising world and getting people to take notice of us. Honestly, I think if anything, this election and the you know, the quote unquote fake news and some of the issues that people had with the coverage of this very contentious election cycle, I think really highlighted a lot of the failings that are going on in the media landscape and you know, the way people can be kind of hoodwinked and snookered into believing some pretty outrageous things, and I think for a lot of people that kind of served as a wake up call that. You know that there are the places that they go to for their news and that they trust for their news are places that they need to support, and a lot of times that means support financially, whether it's getting a subscription to your local paper or you know, supporting a group like ours. And you know, we've definitely seen an influx in contributions, I think, in the last half of the year, and I think particularly since right around election time until now.
All right, let's bring Sarah Garrett-Gaston of The Star back in. Go ahead, Sarah.
It looks like John Kavanaugh in the state legislature is going to bring back a bill that didn't make it last time around that would make it that would affect public records and make it possible for municipal employees to basically deny public records requests, which I know newsrooms all over and citizens all over and groups really rely on because they tell us what our government is doing. But the bill would say it's a burdensome, you can't have these records. And I'm just wondering what your response is as a journalist and what you think the outcome of this might be.
I certainly hope it, you know, on a personal level and as well. Arizona's had a really good, has generally a pretty good public records law. It's fairly open. It's not perfect, but it's better than in a lot of places. And you know, this idea that we're going to bake into the statute that governments can deny records requests as being unduly burdensome and spell that out in there, it's really unnecessary. The law already allows for that. If someone files a request that is overly broad, they can reject those right now. The big problem is I've been involved in some of the discussions about this legislation over the past couple of years. The big issue there's a couple of people in the state who filed these voluminous records requests, and they file them frequently, and they may not ever go pick them up. And so there's one gentleman in Yuma in particular who does this, and the city of Yuma and Yuma County have been advised by attorneys, look, you guys can deny these. You don't have to fill these, but they feel that they're compelled to fill them and not deny them, and so they actually want this carve-out in state statute to essentially give them what they feel would be bulletproof legal cover to deny some of these frivolous records requests. And you know, I think that the concern becomes, does this open up, is this something that becomes a tool for abuse by governments who maybe aren't being diligent, and they just, you know, government officials who just want to keep records hidden and they don't want to disclose stuff. And I think that's the big concern for both media and I think for open government advocates, that if you provide an avenue specifically in the statute for determining what for saying something that's overly broad and just denying it wholesale without defining what overly broad means, without really explaining what these terms are and just making it really vague, that you really make it easier for government officials to keep what they're doing in the dark. And that certainly, you know, in my mind, goes against the spirit of the public records law, and ultimately, I think, does a disservice to all Arizonans.
And one of the things that people who support closing down some of the public records laws that have helped Arizona journalists and citizens for so long, the idea is, well, if it's a problem and they shouldn't be denied, you can just go to court and have that as your remedy, that it's not unilateral. As a newsman who's led newsrooms, could you talk about that and what kind of reality that is to have to go to court to fight for our public records access?
It's not a reality in most cases. You know, again, this kind of gets back to that belt tightening, you know, and the budget constraints that everyone's facing. There is not money to go do that. You know, our records law, again, is really good. One of the great things about our records law is if you go to court, if you file a records request and you get denied and you go to court and to sue for your records and you win, the government you're suing has to pay your legal fees, and that's really a good thing. But the problem is you also have to be willing to take that risk that you're not going to win that case, because there's really no such thing as a slam dunk case. You know, any attorney will tell you that, you know, that even in the best case scenario, you're looking at, you know, maybe an 85 or 90% chance of winning. Mm-hmm. You might be on the hook for tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees. And governments know that. They know that the media organizations and certainly private citizens, they don't have the resources that they're willing to commit to that kind of a fight. And so they can deny things already, and they do routinely deny public records requests and basically tell you, if you think you should get this records request, come sue us and, you know, take us to court over it. And it may be a bluff, but it's also a bluff that I think in today's media world that a lot of players aren't willing to call. And, you know, that in and of itself allows government to really operate in the shadows in a lot of situations.
All right, let's see if we can work one call in here before we have to say goodbye to Jim Small. I think Jim Kelly is with us. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hi, good morning, everybody, or good afternoon. I think what a lot of journalists forget is 8 years ago, when Sarah Palin, you know, had John McCain had lost the presidential election, the press and anybody who thought they were going to write a book went after her office, the governor's office in Alaska, with a vengeance that I don't think I'd ever seen before. They filed thousands upon thousands of record requests that was literally costing the state of Alaska millions of dollars to try to fulfill. So that backlash is kind of where you're starting to get these red state laws on record requests. Now, I do agree with you that the government people like to hide government things from, you know, what they do from the public. But by the same token, was not an overzealous journalism kind of responsible for the backlash?
I'm going to say a big fat no on that one.
Okay. All right.
I would expect that. So.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like, look, here's
Jim,
an example.
Go ahead.
Jim, and good to talk to you again. Been a long time. But, you know, I've been trying for, and this is not a joke, for 11 months to get records out of the State House of Representatives on the spending, the travel spending for David Gowan and other Republican lawmakers and other staffers. They're not turning it over because they know that they can wait out the clock and that eventually that people are going to give up that fight, and they don't have the resources to come take them to court over it. You know, that's exactly the kind of problem that we already have. I think if you, they already complained, they literally complained that a request for all documents related to spending was overly burdensome. They already tried to claim that under the current law. If you create a carve out that says that allows them to do that, to say any request that we feel is too big that we're just not even going to have to fill, not even try to work out a way to fill it. That creates a system that is so ripe for abuse that if you have someone who has anything that they want to hide, you almost give them free rein to do so. And I think that should be scary for any Arizona, because that would apply to all levels of government, whether it's, the municipal government you agree with or the county government that you disagree with or the governor you like or the state senate that you don't like. That allows anybody the opportunity to hide that information and not be open and transparent with the public. And I think that, as a voter and a taxpayer and a journalist and just someone who cares about our state, I think that is really a dangerous game to be playing.
All right.
to allow government to operate with impunity and without that accountability that they should be held to, not just every 2 years or 4 years when they show up on the ballot, but every day when they show up to work, that they should have to be accountable to the people that they serve.
All right, Jim Small. And again, your website?
AZCIR.org.
Jim, thank you very much. Good luck with the new job.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Jim Small. He is the new executive director and the editor of the Arizona Center for Integrative Reporting. Dan Scheer and Sarah Garrett-Gasson stay with me after we take the break. We'll come back with our roundtable. Right now, more about the times they are changing, different versions, different covers. This is Tracy Chapman.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam. Admit that the waters around you have grown. Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times they are...
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel T-U-S and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday after the New Year's holiday, a newsmaker interview with the new president of the Arizona State Senate, Senator Steve Yarborough of Chandler, plus the soaring costs of prescription drugs and what you can do about it. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We have worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Gather round, people, wherever you roam. Admit that the waters around you have grown.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're playing The Times They Are Changing, different covers, different versions. That's the Byrds. Early in the Byrds' career, I think that's from October of 1965, from might have been their first album. Where they covered a lot of Dylan stuff, Sarah Garrett Gasson.
My husband, Timothy Gasson, would know off the top of his head, yep. But I think you're right.
Tim's, like I am, kind of an aficionado of
yes.
60s music.
Indeed.
Sarah Garrett Gasson is here, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. I'm going to say right off the bat, because, you know, it is the New Year's, those of us in the news business like to talk about big story of the year. Locally, my pick is the prospect and promise of much better economic times for Tucson, Arizona. And the reason I say prospect, the announcements are just going to start, you know, they were happening in 2016, Sarah. Mm-hmm. The fulfillment is coming in 2017 for some of these big job
right.
announcements. Raytheon, Caterpillar, some of the others that we hear are in the pipeline.
Exactly. Yeah, I think the Raytheon one is, what, 5 years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Caterpillar has some people coming in from elsewhere for their new headquarters, but also they'll be hiring mm-hmm. here. And all of that is good news, I think, job-wise for the economy, because if you have a really good-paying job, you can afford to go out, you get your dry cleaning, you
right.
you know, you spend. And I think a lot of other Tucson businesses will see the benefit from that.
And Dan, I think some of the, because you talked last week about some of your top stories of the year, but looking ahead to 2017, the Arizona legislative session, now I'm hearing the rainy day fund is only like about $25 million. It's down. And now with this minimum wage, the folks want, Arizona voters want an increase in the minimum wage. The Arizona Supreme Court says, yes, you're going to get it. It's going to impact the state budget.
It's absolutely going to impact the state budget. I think for our area in particular, LD2, which we now have three Democrats representing our area, their big concern going up to the state legislature is whether they can really get anything accomplished. They have, over the last couple of years, been very open about the fact that they feel just stonewalled by the Republican leadership up there, that they can't get their 2 cents in. They just want to be able to weigh in on some of the issues and help Maricopa County, as they say, understand that it's going to take all of us pitching in. You may not have to adopt my idea, but you do need to listen to me, because maybe we could help get to the solution a little quicker. I think they're going to be largely frustrated, but yeah, the ramifications of the minimum wage bill are going to be visited on the very, very local level with what you're paying. And we've already talked to several mom and pops who are going to be raising their rates, be cutting back on hours for certain people. That's what they say. But historically, and we looked at dozens of cities, a couple dozen cities that had done this in the past, had a minimum wage increase, or cities or states, of at least 25%. What really happened there? Sometimes there were impacts. Most of the time, the business has kind of just absorbed them.
Absorbed.
We'll see what happens here.
That's a key word, absorb.
We'll see what happens here. So. Mm.
And it makes a difference when you say, you know, we're going to have to raise our prices. What the if say you're going to go out to eat and you're paying $8.50 for a burrito, for example. Yeah, the prices might go up a bit, but are you really going to notice? And is that going to be the one thing that keeps you from going out and enjoying that dinner?
In this town, people love to dine out. You just wonder if that would make an impact.
One thing that I have spoken with at least one superintendent about is the impact that it'll have on school district employees, perhaps in the cafeteria, teachers' aides, people who are on the lower end of the pay scale. And they're saying that this is something that they have to figure out and think about. And that one superintendent in particular said that he spoke to some voters who were surprised, like, well, isn't education funding just going to go up to take care of this? And he just sort of chuckled and said, why would you think that would happen?
Of course, that's going to be one of the big issues, too, at the state legislature. Tom has been waiting on our live line. Tom wanted to bring up education in 2017, which is going to be a huge issue at the legislature. Tom, what did you have in mind?
I would like to know if the panel believes that the big topic next year will still be education.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'll answer that, and then I'll let Sarah and Dan join in. I think yes, and the part B will be, where's the money coming from, Sarah?
Right. I think that my prediction is that there will be people who think that education funding has been taken care of by Prop 123 that was passed last year or last May, and that there will be people who, Democrats included, who are going to try to keep it as a priority front and center in the legislature and with the budget. But I think that that's going to be an uphill battle. And if you think that education and education funding for public schools is important, I really encourage people to make that known to their state elected representatives, because there's going to be a pushback saying we've already fixed it.
Yeah, and on a local level, we've had a good year as far as education funding goes. We've had a couple of overrides passed. We had a big bond passed in the Sarita district. We had Prop 123, but we're still patching holes in the boat if you were to talk to the district leaders, because we have really old portables, really old buses. We have all of these burdens coming out. We just passed a budget in the Sarita district, and I believe it was included an extra $170,000 just for the minimum wage increase. Mm-hmm. And so we have all these things, plus we're a growing district. So the state has to make it a bigger priority, or they're going to keep coming back to tap local voters who at some point are going to say no.
And with another trend to, I think, keep an eye on with education funding, in addition to the Prop 123, which is putting some money into the system, but not nearly enough, is that funding has been so dramatically just slashed from public education and the universities since at least 2008 that we are, as Dan said, just making up ground at this point. And so you can say, yes, there's more money than last year, but you really have to make an effort to say, well, how far up does that get us, because we're still making up ground. So more money does not necessarily mean higher funding.
Senator Yarborough will be the Senate president, and we'll be talking with him on Tuesday here on the Buckmaster Show at 12:30. And also I noticed in the Star, Representative J.D. Massard of Chandler, who is going to be the House Speaker, is talking about he would like to see more money for instructor staff salaries and an area, and I agree with him here. Well, I agree with him on the teacher's salaries for sure, but also building maintenance needs to be brought up
to date, big time. That is something that is huge. Yes, absolutely. And he's an interesting person. He's young, I think mid-30s, mm-hmm. Very energetic, and let's hope for a different tone in coming out of the legislature.
All right, Dan, before we go, the supervisors will be sworn into another term. We will have a new supervisor. Steve Christie will take the oath, becoming replacing Ray Carroll on the board. And then the newly constituted board, and I guess you can say that factually, because it is newly constituted, because there is a new member on the board. One of the first orders of business will be Mr. Huckleberry and a renewal of a four or five year.
Yeah, and I think people are a little surprised. I think people expected maybe a 1 or 2 year, given some things that he's said, actually even on this show. But it's 4 years. That's what, $8,000 raise, which is not that much. But really, people who point at him and say, "Gosh, he's the problem. We need to get him out." He's had a little bit of a rough year, year and a half, with the bonds going down a little over a year ago. A couple of back and forths, worldview, things like that. But I gotta throw the blame, if you want to talk about things being not going smoothly as they should, to the actual board. And what I would expect or hope for in the next year is more intelligent questions on some of the issues and a little more depth of knowledge from them, instead of just relying on Mr. Huckleberry. The fact is, he's the smartest guy in the room. It seems like he's telling them what to say and think because they're not asking the right questions. Not that he's wrong, but that I would like to see more of an open discussion and transparency out there at the meetings, them asking more intelligent questions, frankly, about the issues.
And the vote will go, your prediction.
Oh,
3-2.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
3-2.
Yeah.
Sarah, 3-2.
3-2.
Mr. Huckleberry will have his contract renewed. Sure. That's pretty much a foregone conclusion. All right. Want to wish a happy new year to Sarah Garrett Gasson. My best to your very sports knowledgeable and music knowledgeable husband, Tim Gasson. Thanks.
Thank
a
you.
Lot,
happy
Sarah.
New Year.
Happy New Year. And Dan, to you and your family, happy New Year. Thanks for your service.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. We'll be back. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell.
Come, writers and critics who prophesy with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, cause the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the time.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. All right, Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist and award-winning publicist Matt Russell, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Silver City and all of the fine people over there want to wish all of the Buckmaster Show listeners a very happy new year, and please, they ask that you consider in your new year travel Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do, great places to stay. The full listing at southwestnewmexico.org. Remember, a hike in the Gila Wilderness is good any time of year. And something that's good any time of year, well, nachos. And it's especially good, Matt Russell, when you team it up with a bowl game.
Absolutely, Bill. You know, the day has finally arrived. The Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl kicks off today at 3:30. But the pregame action is already underway. In fact, Bill, I'm coming to you live from the Nacho Average Tailgate Festival, where more than 30 local nacho purveyors are engaged in a chip-to-chip challenge to see who will be crowned Nacho King or Nacho Queen. Bill, you can't make this up. There's still time to get in on all the action. All you need is a game ticket, and $15 gets you in to taste all the nachos as the countdown to kickoff commences.
It's going to be a great game, Air Force in South Alabama. Tickets still available, so why not head out there? The weather is quite early fall-like, spring-like, so it'll be a great afternoon at Arizona Stadium. Matt, what's coming up with Dillinger Days? That's right around the corner.
It really is, and you know, craft beer, Bill, has officially gone criminal with tonight's grand opening of, get this, the Dillinger Brewing Company on North Oracle Road, right near the Tucson Mall. This place was founded by a couple of U of A Eller School grads who got together with a fellow engineering grad, and they put this great new brewery together. Now, what can we expect from a brewery named after a criminal? Well, how about the Wild West Coast IPA or the Lockdown Brown Ale? This new arrival, Bill, marks, I think, close to 20 local breweries in Tucson now. You don't have to look far to find some spectacular sights.
New Year's Eve is here.
So many great options, Bill, for enjoying New Year's Eve tomorrow night. But I like Union Public House on River and Campbell. They're going to be hosting what they call a gold party, four-course dinner for only $60. All the great options that you can imagine. I would go for the crispy pork belly to start, followed by a beautiful New York strip. And for dessert, how about pecan maple fried ice cream, Bill? It's all tomorrow night at Union. Fried ice cream, you heard me right.
All right, Matt, we'll see you at the tailgate. Have a great game out there. It's going to be a terrific afternoon. Thank you, Matt. Happy
wait.
New Year.
Have a great weekend.
All right, this weekend on Liberty Watch, impressionist Rich Little joins Charles Heller to make fun of him in Voices of Five Presidents on America Armed and Free, Captain Mike Guardia joins Charles about the beginning of the U.S. Special Forces in World War II in the Philippines. That's on noon, at noon on Sunday, New Year's Day. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. Our thanks for the original theme music from the fine young Munich, Germany composer Christophon. Thank you, Christophon, for all of your support for the Buckmaster Show. Also, on behalf of our entire team here at KVOI, Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass on Fridays, and of course, Ray Allen, who is in Tom's chair Monday through Thursday, and all the folks here, Doug and Mary Martin, the owners, are my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, Ed Alexander, and Jerry Cross, of course, our production master, all of the front office people who keep it all together. Thank you all very much. Thanks to all of our sponsors. We'll be back with you with our 6th anniversary edition of Buckmaster on Tuesday. Till then, have a great New Year's. Happy New Year.